would like to welcome you to our show today at Take Time for Jesus. After today's message, we will have information on how you can contact the show or access past shows here at Take Time for Jesus. And now with today's message, here's Brother Earl and Sister Sarah.
Father God, we thank you for your love and your mercy and the blessings that you have bestowed upon us. We appreciate those that have wrote to us from the broadcast, and we pray for those, and we just hope and pray, Father, that you would answer the request that each one have asked for prayer, that you be with them, that their needs be met, and things go well with them, or the sickness will be touched by the grace of God, and they be brought forth for your glory and for the praise and honor unto the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. We thank you that all the things that you have done for us, we bless the name of the Lord to the only way that we know how, through praise and worship. So we'd ask in the Lord that you would help us, O God, that we can bring forth a message that would touch the hearts of the people and the ears would hear what thus saith the Lord. For we know that the days are wicked times, evil days, and perilous, as the scripture says. We know that there's high time we should wake up out of all of our doldrums and look and know that the things that are happening around the land and across the nations, as you have told them there when you sat with the apostles there on the mountain, and they asked you, when would these things be? And you said there would be wars and rumors of wars, and we certainly have had that. Nations against nations, kingdoms against kingdoms, and these things, Lord. And we know that these things have already came to pass, and they are still working in the midst of us today. And people are driving to try to start wars here. There's so much political things going on and so much turmoil in our government and one thing or another, and even in some of the organizations of the churches, there's all kinds of things happening there, showing forth that it's time for the real Christians to wake up and look and see what's happening and know that the coming of our Lord and Savior is drawing nigh and nigh to us each day. I don't know the day and the hour, but my friend, if I could prove to you with the word of God, which I can't, that I could tell you exactly the day and the hour that the Lord was going to appear for his church, then you still need to be ready. If it was 10 years from now, you need to be ready today. You need to call upon the name of the Lord in repentance for your sins and ask him to forgive you and come into your life and bless you and help you to live the life that he would have you to live. Not just merely raise your hand and say, Lord Jesus, come into my life and you're on the way. I don't quite agree with that kind of thing. I've seen too many of them that would claim this, and they claim to be saved, but they go do the same old thing they've been doing all along, and it doesn't show that they repented. It shows that they just, Lord Jesus, come into my life, and somebody told them that they were on their way. Well, I don't know where they was on their way to start with, except it'd be a place of torment, and if that was on the way, well, that's still on the way. My friend, it's come to the time that we need to wake up, need to come alive in Christ Jesus. Let the Spirit of God lead and direct us to whereby that the Scripture says, if we have the Spirit of God in us, then are we sons of God, if we be led by the Spirit. My friends, it's come time that we need to wake up. As preacher's gone on, McGee, I believe was his name, said, when the rubber hits the road. My friend, the rubber is on the road, and we see all these tragedies happening across the land. And the problems that we're having, and people killing one another, and the rioting going on, and all these here things is just a part of, and is of the things that the Lord spoke about that would come prior to his return. All these things are right up on us, my friend. And we are knowing that by looking and seeing all of the things that are happening, the troubles and the tribulations that are upon in the world today, and so much unrest and so many things are happening, It's causing disasters in one thing or another. We have the fires trying to burn up California over on the West Coast. We have the storms trying to destroy the people on the West Coast. Tornadoes in one thing or another out into the mid-states, and the storms and the ice and going on in other places. And it's just all over the world, my friend. I know we've had these things being happening, but the thing of it is that they're happening more frequently now and more severe. We're looking at the end time. There's no doubt in my mind about it. I believe that we're living close to the return of our Lord and Savior. It's time to wake up to reality. As someone said, hey, it's time to wake up and smell the roses. It's time to wake up and get right with God. Because if I could say that it was going to be 10 years before the Lord had come to receive his bride today, and it was that way, and I could prove it to you, which I can't, but you still need to be ready today.
That's right.
Because you and I, none of us have got the promise of tomorrow. So, my friend, it's come time we need to wake up to reality. It's time that the clock is ticking and the midnight hour is almost upon us, and we need to get everything together and be prepared for the coming of our Lord. If we're not prepared, if we're not ready, the Bible speaks about the 10 virgins. Now, they were all virgins, but there was 5 wise and 5 foolish. 5 of them was ready. They had everything together. And when the midnight hour come, go out to meet the bride, or the groom, rather, the 10 of them rose up, 5 of them trimmed their lights and got it ready. They had their lights burning. But there was 5 foolish ones. Woke up too, but they didn't have no oil for the lamps. My friend, it takes the Spirit of God to lead and guide you and help you, as well as me and all that would call upon him. The Lord Jesus said that by his Spirit, he would lead us and guide us into all truth. When the Messiah came into the world, Jesus himself, and the religious people back in that day, when the Pharisees and them asked him, he said, when the Messiah comes, he will teach us all truth and everything. And Jesus told that religious bunch back then, he called them vipers and snakes and one thing or another, but he told them, he said, except you believe that I am he. He was the one that the prophets of old had talked about. He was the one that was born in a stable in Bethlehem of Judea, and he was the one that was laid in a manger there in a feed trough, wrapped in swaddling clothes there in Bethlehem. He was the one that the scriptures was talking about. God said he sent his own son into this world, that through him that the world might be saved. So Jesus came as a babe. But my friend, the next time he comes, he's going to come as a warrior and a King of Kings and Lord of Lords. And his saints come with him, and he comes prepared to put all of his adversaries down. And he will do that. So we need to be ready at his coming. When the last trumpet sounds and he sends his angels out into the four corners of the world to get his bride, you need to be ready. You need to have oil in your lamp. You need to be filled with the Spirit. You need to be worshiping God and not being traipsing off somewhere or another, someplace you ought not to be, and looking for pleasures to please the flesh and this and one thing or another. You need to find that place of repentance, giving God praise and glory, and go with a prayer in your heart all the time, praising God and singing praise unto him. And you'll find that it makes everything work out so much better. It's not to say that you nor I, which we do have problems in this life, that's the devil's job, to create all he can there to make it miserable for you. But thanks be unto God, when the Lord Jesus Christ comes and he puts all adversaries, that means the devil also is going to be cast into hell with all the false prophets and all them that will love a lie and love not the truth, and he's going to cast them into hell. My friend, it's time that we need to wake up. We need to look around and see what's happening, knowing that God is on the throne and he has control over everything, and he will bring to pass all these things he said. His word has gone out, and it will not return unto him void, but it will accomplish that he sent it out to do. And he sent it out to let you and I know there when the prophets and the apostles was telling us about it. Isaiah, in the last chapters of Isaiah, speaks about the coming of the Lord and the things that's going to transpire. Ezekiel speaks about it, and Daniel speaks about it, even to Jeremiah and the other prophets of old. And then it come on to the apostles, and they teaching about it in the book of Romans in the 13th chapter, along about the 10th verse there, you'll find that Paul was warning us about it when he said there, that love worketh no ill. It is in his neighbor. Therefore, love is the fulfillment of the law. And that knowing the time, and now is high time to wake up out of sleep, for is our salvation nearer than when we believe. The night is far spent, the day is at hand. Let us therefore cast off the works of darkness, and let us put on the armor of light. Let us walk honestly as in the days, not in routing and drunkenness and in charmlet and wantonness, not in strife and envy, but put on the Lord Jesus Christ, and make not provision for the flesh to fulfill the lust thereof. Paul is trying to tell the church, them that are born again is the church, my friend. He's trying to let us know that it's high time to wake up. It's time that is close to the return of our Lord. It's nearer than when we first believed. My friend, I've been into this gospel and trying my best to preach it for over 40 years. And the day is now upon us somewhat quite a bit different than it was to begin with. We've had to that falling away. Paul made mention about that the day of the Lord won't come except there come a falling away first and the man of sin be revealed. I believe when he's revealed, that God will take his church out, because there's going to be trouble then that no man on earth has ever known or thereforth or has been. But it's going to be trouble when the old man of sin, the Antichrist, stands in the temple, showing himself and declaring himself to be God. There's going to be trouble, my friend, that's never been on the face of the earth before. God's going to bring forth his judgment on the world because they denied him and they didn't seek after him. And them that refused him when he called and they rejected him on down the line, and that is going now. We've got the falling away. There's some places that they call the church, that they have a service maybe two hours on Sunday morning, and the doors and the lights is out the rest of the time. My friend, this is because people have got to be lovers of pleasure more than lovers of God. We've got all of these things going on to please the flesh, and that's what's happening to the world today. We have all kinds of things happening. Hollywood is making all kinds of crazy movies, and they're making doing this and doing that. And we see all these things happening. I would think that California needs to wake up over there, my friend, that God's trying to tell them people something to wake them up. Just like the people on the East Coast here and in the middle states there, that these things are happening more frequently now and more severe than they have been since I was a boy. I'm telling you, my friend, I've seen some storms that's happened here lately that has been devastating. And these fires have been going, but they're getting worse and worse. They're burning up people's homes out there, and they have to flee from it. My friend, we need to flee from the wrath of God, because it's coming.
That's right.
Tribulations is upon us, but the wrath of God is going to come. The church is not going to be here for the wrath of God, but them that fail to heed to the call that has went out. When Jesus is stretched out his arms there on the last day of the feast before he was crucified, and he said, if any man athirst, let him come and drink of the living waters. That living waters is the Spirit of God. Need to repent, looking unto the Lord Jesus Christ for the remission of our sins, of which that's what he come to do, to save you and I from our sins. When he allowed them to hang him on the cross, and they crucified him there. It was for yours and my benefit, my friend, not for his, because he didn't have to do it, but he loved the world so much. God said he loved the world so much until he sent his only begotten son into the world that through him that the world might be saved. God put on humanity. He became the word became flesh and dwelt among us for the purpose to that, to go to the cross. They didn't take his life. He gave it. They didn't kill him. He gave his life. My friend, it's time we realize that everything that God has done, it was for yours and my benefit. It wasn't for his because he was existed long before we ever come into this world. But he died for yours and my sin. If you're under the sound of my voice and everything, for them that are been born after his crucifixion, he knew the day, the hour, and what it was going to be and how it is going to take for you to have remission of your sins. And he gave his life and shed his blood to pay for yours and my sins even before we ever was. You got to realize that he knows everything from the beginning to the end and all in the middle. And he's all in all. He's our only hope in Christ Jesus. If you have hope only in this world, you got to be pretty miserable, my friend, according to the scriptures. But if you have hope in God, hope in the Lord Jesus Christ, and believe in that precious blood of Jesus and what he done at Calvary for you and I at that time, and accept the atoning price that he paid, the life that he gave and the blood he shed for the remission of your sins, calling upon the Lord in a repentance there and being godly sorrow for the sins that you have lived and wallowed around in, and you asked him to forgive you, he will forgive you. But you're going to have to walk into newness of life because you're a new creature in Christ. If you've been born again, you need to accept the scriptures, Lord, my friend, as to what it says. Coming unto him with a broken heart and a contrite spirit, he said he would no wise cast out. But you can raise your hands and say as much as you want to and repeat after a man, Lord Jesus, come into my life, and you walk in the same old trail and you never stop doing the same old thing you was doing all night. It ain't going to work, my friend. I'm here to tell you it ain't going to work. It's going to take truly repentance. Turn around, doing right the opposite from what you've been doing, and show the fruits of the Spirit that you've been redeemed by the blood of the Lamb, and give up this thing. Our redemption is drawing nigh. It's even at the door. The night is far spent. It's time we wake up to the reality, seeing all these things that are happening around the land and across the nations. We need to understand that they're the fulfillment of the prophecy of the old prophets of the old and the apostles, and even to the Lord himself told us about these things that would be, and they're here. They're not coming, my friend. They're already here, and they're getting worse all the time. People have come to be all kinds of sin going on, the killing people and going into places and shooting up and just killing people just because the devil's on a rampage. He's out as a roaring lion seeking that he can devour or may devour. And he's doing all this here because he knows he's got but just a short time. His time is going to be gone, and his time of being cast into hell for eternity and never more come out, he knows that it's going to be. But he wants to take all that, get all that done. He wants to have as many as he can, the many to lead with, follow him, and to cast into hell. My friend, you don't want to go that route. Hell is going to be hot, and it ain't going to be no water there. If you'd read what Jesus told about the rich man and the Lazarus, and you find out that the rich man, Lazarus was placed in Abraham's bosom, but the rich man died and was buried, but in hell he lifted up his eyes and seen a Lazarus afar off in Abraham's bosom. He desired Abraham to let Lazarus come and put his finger in the water and dip it into the water and touch his tongue, for he was tormented in them flames. My friend, does that sound like it's going to be a vacation in hell? I don't think so. It's going to be hard. It's going to be there, doomed for eternity, cast into a darkness without any hope of retrieve, and it's going to be, that's the way it's going to be. It ain't going to be no more getting out. As some people say that, you've seen all these movies that come out of Hollywood and made this and made that and one thing. They've got it all planned up that them's left behind. Them is left behind to go to hell, my friend, plain and simple. They ain't going to get in no big ship that all the rich people got together and built, and they escaped the destruction of this world. It ain't going to happen. We're going to face it up. And if you're not been born again and of the water and of the Spirit and accept that the Lord Jesus Christ is your Savior, you go down in defeat. It's plain. I'm not going to sugarcoat it for you, my friend, and tell you, tickle your ears and tell you you're going to be okay, that God's going to make a way for you. He's already made a way. He made that way for you and I when he died on Calvary. And there ain't no other way you're going to get there except through Jesus Christ. Because he said, I am the door, I am the way, I am the truth and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. Where else you going to go, my friend? It's time we woke up to reality, as Paul is trying to do. The night is far spent. The time is near at hand. The coming of the Lord is coming nigh. It ain't going to be much more that's going to be done before it's going to start that countdown to the midnight hour. It's already started, but it's getting to be that we're in the midnight hour is to strike. And when we see and hear peace and safety, they said it would be sudden destruction. And when the Israel and the Palestinians signed that peace agreement and everything, you can look out. And therefore, it's going to come trouble. It'll be a little while there. Everything will seem to be real good until the old man of sin steps into the temple there and declares himself to be God. And the church would have to be taken out somewhere along about that, I think, for the simple fact, because after that, the wrath of God is going to fall upon them, because the old man of sin is going to require you to take his mark. And when you take that, my friend, you may as well just say, well, I'm doomed from now to eternity, through eternity, because there's no hope for you.
Right.
Only thing that we got now is while that we can, while we have the opportunity, while that Jesus is still calling, reaching out to you to accept him. Because like I said a while ago, we ain't got the promise of tomorrow. You may close your eyes tonight and everything being okay, and you may have plans to do something other tomorrow. And these things, and you or I, either one, has not got the promise of tomorrow. Your eyes may not open. I hope it's not that way, but nevertheless, that's plain and simple, and it's the only way I can tell it. To get you to understand that we need God in our life. We need to repent. We need to look to him and be sober, be aware of the things that's going on around us. Giving our whole soul, life, and body into presenting it unto him as a living sacrifice. And therefore, claim the victory in Jesus' name. Claim the blood of Jesus for our sins and let it cleanse us from our unrighteousness. That's the only hope we got. Without that, we ain't got no hope. If you ain't got but hope in this world, if your riches, if whatever you may have, put in your depending upon something else or government and so on and so forth of that nature, and you're dependent on that, you're dependent on the wrong thing, my friend, because they can't help you during that time. When the Lord comes and it comes to take his bride out, the Bible says when he will let it be taken out of the way. When the church is taken off the face of the earth, then the devil is going to have a free hand. The only thing that is restraining it right now is the church, the praying people that are praying and asking God to wait just a little longer, that we might win a loved one or a friend unto him, that he might come to him just another little bit longer, Lord, as I pray. Because I got some friends and loved ones that are out of the ark of safety. They haven't repented. They're still in the world. I'd like to see them come in before it's too late. Wait a little bit longer, Lord. But I know that the time he's already got set, and when that time comes, hon, there's nothing going to stop it. It's going to be done as he, according to his will and in his time and his way. It always has been, and it will always be. His time, not yours or mine, but his time. We can ask him to hold off And possibly he has been holding off for some time, but these things are getting so bad around that, as it did in the days of Noah. He said it repented man, it repented him that even made man. Now, it must have been pretty wicked back then, but it's getting bad now. Then he said, it covers on there and Luke pinned in there, as it was in the days of Noah and the days of Lot. Lot, we know that there was all immorality going on around in Sodom and Gomorrah, and he destroyed it. That he destroyed the world with water, but this time it's going to be burned up with the fire of God. My friend, we need to be prepared. You need to wake up to reality. Listen to them that will tell you the truth. Read your Bible, as I tell you often. Read your Bible. Believe what it says. Asking God by His Spirit, the Holy Ghost, to lead you, to help you to understand it. My friend, that's the only true way you can do.
That's right.
You can listen to a lot of these here preachers that's been to these seminar schools and paid big money to them people to teach them what to say and have this here politically correct thing now and everything like that there with a fair speech and a smooth tongue. They're going to lead many down the road of destruction. My friend, it needs to be led by the Spirit. Need to be come from the throne of grace by the anointing of God, the Holy Ghost, to bring forth the message. And there's got some preachers that does, but you've got some that all they want is you to put into their bank account and watch their bank grow. And they plant your seed. That's what they say. Plant your seed and watch it grow. Yeah, you plant your seed in their bank account and you watch it grow bigger and bigger. Some of them's got millions there, but they don't do nothing for nobody else out there. My friend, it's come time that we need to understand you cannot, absolutely cannot buy your way into the kingdom of God. There's only one organization, if you call it that, but one church, the church of the living God, the church of the living God, which he purchased with his own blood. All these other churches that come up that during the time of the Council of Churches, they come up and everybody that got in a disagreement with the way that this was and way that was, they all got together and they went and spread themselves around with different denominations. But my friend, there's only one church of the living God, which he purchased with his own blood. That is the true church, and you're born into it. You can't join it. And you definitely can't pay your way into the kingdom of God, because your sin debt and mine has been paid at Calvary even before we was. The debt has been paid. You owe God your life as he gave his life that you could have life. We owe him praise and honor in our life to give to him as a token of our love and a price that he paid to give it, if it's possible to pay him back. That's the only way I know that you can. You can't buy your way into the kingdom. You can't pay enough of money and to get in there. But my friend, it's come to the place to where you need to understand Jesus is coming soon. It's time to wake up and look about. And it's like Ezekiel was chosen there is a watchman on the wall. Ezekiel, the 33rd chapter of Ezekiel, he tells us about, and that God chose him. He said, if the people check a man out of their coast as a watchman, and he sees the sword coming on the land, and he warns them, and they don't take no warning, and they taken away, the sword takes them away, the blood will be upon them. But then he goes around and he said, but old man, I put you a watchman on the wall. And any preacher that won't let people know that they'll go down in defeat if that sword of God comes along, you need to be ready to go. But if he don't warn them, he told Ezekiel, if you don't warn them and the sword comes and takes them away, their blood I will require at your hands. My friend, I don't want your blood on my hands or my blood on nobody else's hand. I believe we're close to the return of our Lord as a watchman to let you know that these things that are happening across the land, these disasters that are taking place, the killing that's going on, and all these things that are happening, my friend, is a fulfillment of God's word. And it's time we woke up to the fact that these things are drawing, the Lord is drawing nigh and nigh to his return. And if we're not ready, we're not going to be taken up with the bride of Christ. We'll be left behind. And then there'll be only one way that you could be possibly saved, and that's deny the beast and to don't take his mark, and he's going to take your life. And that's the only way that I can even think about that you will be saved to get into the kingdom of God. Giving your life. Right now, you can give your sinful life, die, and be born again of the water and of the Spirit and live eternity. Or you can die in your sins and be rose again out of the pits of hell and die again to the second death, as the Bible calls it. So it's up to you and it's up to me. We got to make the choice of it. God made a decision to send Jesus, his only begotten Son, into this world to die for our sins long before we was. Now the decision is up to us to accept the Lord Jesus Christ and the price that he paid for our sins and repent of our sins, giving him praise and honor, turn about from the old sinful nature, quit dabbling around in the things of the world and be living to the Lord, praise and honoring him, giving him praise and honor, seeking after the kingdom of God with your whole heart, soul, mind, and body, not being having the pleasures of life and fulfilling the lust of the flesh and all these things. These people, it's immoral people and everything, using their rainbow for their sign and all, they're going to go down in defeat, my friend, because God judged Sodom and Gomorrah, and he's going to judge them. If he doesn't, he'll have to call Sodom and Gomorrah up and redo it. But he ain't going to do it because they were sinful, and he's going to do the same thing with the world today. Sin will cost you your life.
Right.
The repentance will give you life. So it's up to you. I've been talking here so much, I done got started, and my wife's got something other here, and I want her to read this to you because it's something that goes along with what we've been saying, what we believe, and we know that you need to understand. So here's my wife. She's to bring this to you.
Well, praise the Lord.
Hallelujah.
The Jesus. Midnight hour is coming, and it's 1 minute to the midnight hour. In Acts 2:20, the sun shall be turned into darkness and the moon into blood before that great and notable day of the Lord comes. The midnight hour is upon us. The long foretold hour of darkness unparalleled in this world's history. One by one, the lights are going out. Church attendance, observation of the Lord's Day, legal restraint on social evils such as abortion and gambling, growing immoral lifestyle, internet and cable TV pornography, and loss of marital faithfulness. Dark, foreboding, and fearful. Midnight is close upon us. In Luke 21:26, men's hearts failing them for fear and for looking after those things which are coming on the earth. Worldwide calamities, international terrorism, resolutions, and epidemics. All these are like the sounds of many bells ringing out the advance notes before the striking of the midnight hour. The darkest night in the world's history is coming upon us. Please, do not let it take you by surprise. The Bible has warned us. History has taught us the utter futility of the faithful efforts of sinful man to save himself. It was for this purpose that God sent his beloved Son Jesus to die on the cross as a willing and perfect sacrifice. It is the blood of Christ that cleanses us from all sin, saves us from eternity in hell. If you are a Christian, the midnight hour is near. Rejoice and faint not. Hold on. Let fear be gone. The great hour for which you have waited is about to strike. The King, long absent, for whom your loving hearts have secretly mourned at the mention of his name, your hearts have oft-time leaped for joy. The King is on his way. Blessed midnight hour, the hour of hope, the hour of joy, the hour of gladness. For the King is the bridegroom, and the bridegroom is your Savior. Awake, arise from the dust, shake from your garments all the soiling contents of a fallen world. Wipe away your tears, lift up your eyes to the shining of the glorious Sun of Righteousness. Wait patiently for a little while longer, and the hour shall strike, the midnight hour of gladness and of joy, when you shall go to ever be with your Lord. However, if you are not a Christian, yes, the midnight hour is upon you also, the hour of God's terrible judgment. If you are not his child, it will be the hour of fate and doom for all those who are not saved by the blood of Christ. The King is coming. The hour is about to strike. The hour of your judgment. It shall be returned to you. The measure you gave is the measure you will receive. But seed you have sown shall seven. But the heavens and the earth, which are now by the same word, are kept in store, reserved unto fire, against the day of judgment and perdition of ungodly men and women. Cry for the rocks to hide you from the wrath of the King, for the King is your judge. He will punish your wickedness and disclose your hypocrisy. Revelation 6:16, and said to the mountains and rocks, fall on us, and hide us from him that sitteth on the throne, and from the wrath of the Lamb. The blood of Christ. You say, wait a minute. You are not wicked. You are a good person. However, you have despised the blood of Jesus Christ and counted it an unholy thing when you rejected his sacrifice on the cross of Calvary. But the Lord is merciful. Confess to him in repentance your sins, that you are sorry for the life you have been living, and ask him to forgive you. Tell him that by faith you believe Jesus died on the cross and rose again after 3 days. By accepting his good sacrifice on the cross, you are assured of forgiveness of your sins and now have a place in the kingdom for all eternity. There's some scriptures I want to give you, and Luke 13:5-3:1, except you repent, you shall all likewise perish. And John 8:24, except you believe that I am he, you shall die in your sins. The King is coming. It's almost the midnight hour. Are you ready to meet your King? In Matthew 25:6-13. And at midnight there was a cry made, behold, the bridegroom cometh. Go ye out to meet him. Then all those virgins arose and trimmed their lamps. And the foolish said unto the wise, give us of your oil, for our lamps are gone out. But the wise answered, saying, not so, lest there be not enough for us and you. But go ye rather to them that sell, and buy for yourself. And while they went out to buy, the bridegroom came, and they that were ready went in with him to the marriage, and the door was shut. Afterward also came the other virgins, saying, Lord, Lord, open to us. But he answered and said, verily I say unto you, I know you not. Watch therefore, for ye know neither the day nor the hour wherein the Son of your God cometh. Today's the day of salvation. Tomorrow may never come. And as I said, except to repent and believe that I am he, Jesus Christ, you will die in your sins. Here's Brother Earl.
Amen. My friend, it's why I encourage you, to best I know how, to read your Bible, to believe what God has already put in writing. It's a letter that he had wrote to you and I by the men of old and the prophets, that was led by his Spirit to tell us of the things that are transpiring and to warn us that we need to be ready. We need to, if you read 1 Corinthians, the 15th chapter, I'm just going to touch a little bit on it. It says in the 31st, 34th verse there, he said, "Awake to righteousness and sin not, for men have not the knowledge of God. I speak this to your shame." But some men will say, "How are the dead raised?" My friend, it's going to come a time that when the dead in Christ shall raise. First, them which remain to be alive will be changed. My friend, this is going to transpire at the catching away of the bride of Christ. And this is closely upon us. It's coming. That's why I believe that he wrote to us to say to wake us up to the reality. Look around and see that these things that are happening that they predicted and prophesied long ago before you and I come into the world, that through these things and these signs that we will know that the coming of our Lord is near, even at the door. My friend, it's time we begin to understand plan for you and I, and his plan is to save you from his untoward generation, and it's why he came and gave his life that we can have life. But if we reject it, it's just like that if you was at your home and the telephone rang and somebody called you, you was needing a job desperately and you needed one and you'd tried and no one would hire you, my friend. But all of a sudden this person that he didn't know you, but he know that somehow or another he got the idea that you needed a job and he called you and said, "I've got a job for you. If you'll come in, we can go to work today." And it's your right to do. You can refuse or accept. You can refuse the dawning price that God paid for your salvation today, or you can accept it. You can refuse to take that which he offered to you and die in your sins. It's plain and simple. But if the man called you on your phone and said, "I have got a job that I believe that would be ample for thee and to make you there that you can qualify to do. And if you come on in today, we can get you started and X amount of dollars you're going to make an hour or whatever. And it'd be really substantial to you, a blessing to you, but you got to go accept it, my friend. You can't sit there at home and say, "Yeah, I believe that," but you don't do nothing about it. There's a lot of people believes in God, but they don't call upon him. They don't do anything on his behalf. But yet they say, "Yeah, I believe that there's a God," but they won't worship him. Some people says that they believe in a God and they claim that they're Christian, but you see the things that they're doing. And the Bible says you would know them by the fruits that they bear. If the tree bears forth good fruits, the tree's good. And if it brings forth corrupt fruit, you know that something's wrong with the tree. My friend, it's just that the way it is with people. If they do good and they try to bless others and help others along and live a Christian life and you can see the fruits of that, then you'll know that their tree is good. But when they claim that they've got this and they claim their fruits is good and everything, but all you see is corruption out of it, then what would you think? Well, God's going to be the final judgment. He's the one that's going to say, "Enter in or depart." It's nothing that I can do or that you can do for yourself except repent. Repent and believe on the Lord Jesus Christ. As Peter told them there in the book of Acts, in the second chapter of the book of Acts, when they asked him there, "His men and brethren, what shall we do that we might be saved?" He said, "Repent, every one of you, and be baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, and you shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost." My friend, there's a lot of denominations goes along, and all they want you to do is just say, "I believe," and you're on your way. Well, I don't know where they was going to start with, but they still on the way. But my friend, true repentance is going to bring a turnabout. You're going to turn from your wicked ways, and true repentance will bring the light of the gospel into your being. You'll make a difference. You'll show a difference. The world will know you're different. I know that people asked me years ago, and they said, "What happened to you? You used to do this and do that and all this here kind of stuff," which I did. But I quit, and they wanted to know what happened. I said, "Well, friend, I want to tell you what happened. Jesus came into my life when I asked him to saved me from my sins, and he made the difference. That's the only difference that I know that could, only thing that I know that could make a difference between your old sinful nature and to get you straightened out with God is to call upon the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. And it's time we woke up to realize that that's what we need to do. The midnight hour, as my wife was speaking, is almost upon us. We're coming closer and closer each moment of the day to the return of our Lord and Savior. And if you're not ready and got oil in your lamps, been filled with the Holy Ghost, and got God in your life, you're going to be left, my friend. And when the door is shut, it's shut. When Noah was there and built the ark, 120 years he worked on it, and he was faithful and everything was ready. And God told Noah, said, Noah, come into the ark. Him and his family got into the ark, and that door was open for 7 long days, an opportunity, but nobody went in. But when God reached down there and shut that door, my friend, it shut the world out, and Noah and them, his family, was in the ark with the animals also. And when the rain began to come down, the lightning flashed, the thunder roared, and it broken up the fountains of the deep, and it rained all there and flooded out. I don't doubt that there wasn't some prayer meeting going on the hills, but the hills got covered up and the prayer stopped too because they would refuse to help Noah build the ark and to get into it. They refused God, in other words. They didn't believe it. Never rained before. Well, Jesus has never come in the clouds before either, but my friend, he's on his way. He came as a babe, as born of a virgin, just a little Jew girl. She wasn't the only virgin there was, but she was the one out of the lineage of David, wherein that David was God's chosen of kings. And she came out of that, and out of his lineage there came, and that's why they call David his father. Well, it wasn't really his father, but nevertheless, they said he was, but that was the flesh, like, my friend. He wasn't really his father, but he was the fleshly part. The woman gave him the body that he came in. The word was placed in her womb by the Spirit of God. Hallelujah. And the word became flesh and dwelt among us. The only begotten of God, full of grace and truth. He came and gave his life and shed his blood on the cross of Calvary there to buy yours and my pardon. He paid for our sins even before we was, because he knowed when we were coming into this world, and we all born in sin and shaped in iniquity. He came to sign our pardon there at Calvary with his own life and blood. He signed your pardon as mine too there and gave us that pardon from the sins of the world and from the to escape hell through him. But you got to accept it. If you was in a regular prison, that natural, and if you didn't accept the pardon and go out of the jail, what good would the pardon do you? Couldn't do you a dime's worth of good. My friend, it's the same way it is with God. He put the price on, paid the price, paid for your redemption, paid for your sins that we have committed. Even before we was, he knew we was going to be born in sin and shaped in iniquity. He knew that we needed a Savior. He knowed we needed salvation. So he paid the price for us. And he died on Calvary's cross. He gave his life, then shed his blood. He was buried, and on the third day he arose, and he's alive forevermore, my friend. I'm here to tell you, he's alive. Why? Because he lives, I live. And I have that hope in Christ Jesus. And I pray that you will get that same unction of the Spirit of God, the reborn birth that you can come only come through him, through that precious blood of Jesus. That unction to press on towards the mark of the high call in Christ Jesus. Accept his price that he paid. Accept the atoning for your sins and give him praise and honor. Calling upon him with a broken heart and a contrite spirit, down on your knees in some part there, wherever you might, and close your closet door or whatever, my friend, and calling upon the name of the Lord, truly be sorry for your sins. Ask him to forgive you. He will. just telling you to raise your hand and say, Lord Jesus, come into your life. I don't go along with that. There's many, many people says they've done it like that, and they're good people. There's good and bad in all walks of life, my friend. But the thing of it is that Christianity is different from being good.
Right.
You can be a good moral person, but if you hadn't been born again of the water and of the Spirit, except the atoning price that God has paid for our sins, and you still, you're good. You do everything right. You don't steal. You don't do this and do that. You're morally, you're a good person. It ain't good enough. I found that out. My friend, I tried to live as good a life as I knowed how. Didn't go around stealing and cutting. But every once in a while, you do things that you shouldn't do. It's sin. Sin bringeth forth death. After sin is fulfilled, death will take over. But my friend, Jesus came to spare us from the death, hell, and the grave. He came to whereby that when he comes again in the clouds of glory, he's going to call them that are dead in the Christ up first, and them that remain to be alive will be changed and caught up together with them in the clouds. But when he comes back with his saints to do battle, he comes and he's going to put down all the adversaries of this world. He's going to take the devil and they're going to bind him up and cast him into hell, and all the false prophets and all them that believe not and them that have not the names on the Lamb's book of life, all will be cast into hell, which is a second death. So you can live once and die twice, but you can die to the world and the things and live for God and live for eternity in the kingdom of God. My friends, I'm looking forward to that time that when John said he seen the new Jerusalem coming down out of heaven, adorned as a bride for her groom. Friend, that's the place I want to go to. I suppose it would be good to go to the old place over there, and if you had the money to do so with, and enjoy it. And I'm not saying anything wrong with that. I'd like to, but I just can't afford it. But nevertheless, if God made it possible for me to go, I'd do my best to go. But I really and truly want to go to that new one that John seen coming down out of heaven, because the old heaven and the old earth would be passed away. Behold, he makes all things new. And the new one is wherein dwelleth righteousness. My friend, wouldn't you want to be in there rather than go to the one that we're in, that's all kinds of things happening over there just like it is in all other parts of the world? There's only one true way to make it into the kingdom, and that's repentance, calling upon the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Be godly sorry for your sins and ask him to forgive you. Walk in the newness of life. Be renewed by the Spirit of God to walk in the newness of life. Put on light. Cast off the darkness. Put on that armor of God. Cast off the old filthy rags of sin and everything. Put on Christ. Hallelujah. Put on Christ Jesus. Repentance is what it's going to take. That's all. It won't cost you a dime. It'll cost you the world, but it won't cost you a dime. But you'll be happy and full of the life-giving flow that Jesus can only give you. Hope in him is our only hope. I pray that we, when that time comes, that we can gather together. I may not see you this side of eternity, my friend, but I hope that one day that it may come to pass that we're in. I've heard it been said by many preachers and all. I'm glad you invited me to this place, and we're there together to enjoy the blessings of God. Eternity. Never no more tears or sorrow, no more pain, no more death, and no more party, but be with the Lord for eternity. And my friend, it's great to even think about. Hallelujah. May God richly bless you, write to you if you will.
Thank
all and each and every one of you for the letters that you wrote to it, because it encourages us. And that's my desire, to encourage you. Press on towards the Lord Jesus. Repent. Come to him today, for tomorrow may be too late. May God richly bless you and keep you. And may God answer your prayers in the name of Jesus. We ask it in Jesus' name. Amen and amen.
Take time out for Jesus. He took time for you. Take a little time in the morning, and you'll feel better all day. Take a little time for Jesus, to get down on your knees and pray. He took the time to die on the cross, so all of our souls wouldn't be lost. If you find yourself slipping, then the thing to do is take time out for Jesus. He took time for you. Sometimes you may be in a hurry, you have so many things to do, but don't forget about Jesus. Remember, He didn't forget about you. He took the time to die on the cross, so all our souls wouldn't be lost. If you find yourself slipping, then the thing to do is take time out for Jesus. He took time for you. Take time out for Jesus. Time for you.
We would like to thank you for joining us today on Take Time for Jesus. Email the show at ecompton31@yahoo.com. If you'd like to check out past shows of Take Time for Jesus, go to our website, taketimeforjesus.com. We look forward to joining you again on our next show as we Take Time for Jesus.